All right, everybody have a handout.
Yes, sir.
Everybody have a pen? Might want one. All right, today, Revelation, the last book.
Revelation.
Very last one. And Revelation, yeah. Revelation. You know, I was looking at my computer files. I was telling Steve this morning, we started Genesis on November 12th, 2017. Oh yeah, it's gonna get. So it's taken us 2 years to get to this point. So this is the final book that we're, you know, the final time we're going through Revelation. Since we're on the subject, next week I'll have the CDs. I'll burn about 20 or so CDs that'll have the entire from Genesis to Revelation. It's 200 some odd files.
Can that be downloaded onto the computer?
Yeah, it'll be. Just stick it in a. In a CD, it's a data disk.
Sweet.
It's not the audio. You don't want that, but it's the handouts of all the charts, everything we've done. I've already gave it to a few people, like Dennis Bell. I gave him a copy a few weeks ago, and Luke Fleshman. I gave him a copy. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I'm proud. I mean, I didn't come up with all this. Obviously, I've read books, and
you know,
other men of God have shown me. But so today's Revelation, and what I did, the handout is really pretty small because we're just going to do a high level talk about the Revelation, and mainly I want to really teach you guys the structure of the book and how it lays out. So then when you read it on your own, things will make sense because there's some keys that we all need to know when we're reading through the book that'll really help unlock everything. So. And we'll get to that as we go along. All right, now, looking at our handout here, let's just start the front page. I left the first few blank because this is the third time we're going through Revelation. You know, we did two studies on the churches, chapters 1 through 3. We talked about the first week, part 1, we talked about how the churches were physical churches and that they all went through things just like we're going through today and how to apply that to our life. Last week, church history, how those seven churches are types of the seven periods of church history from Acts 28 to now. So, 2 weeks on church history. So, we're done with chapters 1 through 3. Today, we're going to talk about the rest of the book, which is really, when people think of Revelation, they think of the rest of the book, the spooky stuff. The apocalypse. All right, so because we've talked about Revelation twice, I left a lot of blanks here. So who was it written by?
John.
Well, I was going to give a candy bar, but I heard everybody. So good. We all know that it was written by John. How many books in our New Testament did John write?
Five.
All right, Cheryl. Candy bar for Cheryl. You can eat it later if you want, or now. I don't care. Five books. John, the disciple, John, hung out with Jesus. He wrote five books in our New Testament. Does anyone know when Revelation was written?
Around
90
to 96 AD.
90. Yes. 90. 90, yes. 70 was another big event in Israel's history.
Oh, the tearing down of the church?
Yes, tearing down the temple. Hey, all right. All right. My favorite student.
Oh,
and I was talking about Dave.
Oh, that's on me.
Oh, that
no.
You owe her a back row.
Yeah. Let me get her hand out. What's going on, Dave?
Good, brother.
Get the hand out. Oh, here you go, Sherry. We're just starting out. Yeah, we're still on the first page. We're kind of filling in some of these blanks. So the Revelation was written by the disciple John around 90 AD. Remember, he was banished to the island of
Patmos.
Yes, escape from Patmos. Yes. So that kind of fills in A. He was written by the apostle John around 90 AD while he was banished to Patmos. So that's the backstory of the book. The 50,000 foot summary, this is all copy. It's about the second coming of the Lord. It's about the end times. It's about God's plan being realized. Okay, down there at the bottom of the first page, interesting facts about Revelation. What does Revelation mean? the word revelation. Like, what's this book
to
mean? To reveal or make. That's very specific.
Well, I wrote it in my Bible.
Okay. I thought she had last week's handout.
No, I don't have it.
Yeah.
But I write all the, when you write, talk about the chapters and verses and words.
Well, that's good.
I write them in there.
That's very good, because I was going to encourage everyone in a little bit to do that.
What does revelation mean?
All right, so revelation means to reveal or make known. And the reason that's cool is because some of our Old Testament books, God would tell the prophets things and say, don't tell anyone yet, it's not time, you know, like Daniel. But with Revelation, he wants us to know what's getting ready to go down. He wants to reveal his plan for the future. There's nothing hidden in Revelation. All that Da Vinci Code stuff, that's just people making up stuff. All right, so the name means to reveal. And like point two, it's not a sealed book. A lot of imagery in it. I'm going to kind of blow through these first few pages because these are all just copy-paste. I do this in case someone ends up with this handout and they don't have the other two. So I just kind of copy forward the information. Point number six there, I'm on the top of page two. It's the only book where there's an explicit blessing promised to people who read Revelation. So that's pretty cool.
What is that blessing?
That you'll be blessed by God. That you'll be blessed. He'll bless you.
I thought it was specific.
It is specific. This is the only book that says that.
Oh.
No other book says, I'm special, read me. Yeah, I mean, even Proverbs or Psalms, none of them say that. This one does. Revelation also gives you a warning. There's three warnings in our Bible about changing. And one of them's in Revelation, but I didn't put that. All right, my airport, again, this is a describing how all the promises that he's made in the Old Testament and all the promises to the church, to us, to Jews, to the earth, all come to fruition in Revelation. They all land at the Revelation runway. I'm going to skip there. I'm going to skip over to page three. We, as in Baptists, as in Bible believers, we take the futuristic view. Revelation is about things yet to come. It's not a storybook, allegorical or anything else. So, all right. So then G at the bottom of three starts out with letters to seven churches, which we've talked about for 2 weeks, so I'm not even going to go there. So let's get to the good stuff. Page four, the outline.
Page four.
All right. I got to juggle several different handouts here. On the back of your handout, you've got this chart. So you might whip that out real quick. Hopefully everybody's got that. And then notice, this week I springed for color printing. So I was in a good mood when I ordered it. So I thought, color printing. But it helps offset or show some key things. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to kind of talk about the handout, and we're going to redraw this drawing here so I can kind of explain it as I go. There's Kathy. All right. So, I need to explain a few things here. Okay. Yeah, my chameleon. I drew my chameleon here. I need to set some foundation here before we start going through the book. In the Old Testament, this is really a key thing. In the Old Testament, the prophets, the minors specifically, or the prophets, not just minors. Right? This is also in your handout. This was something we went over with the book of Isaiah. All of the minor prophets, I keep saying minor, all the prophets, Isaiah through Malachi, the prophets, they were kind of like chameleons. They had one eye telling about things going on at that time. You know, Nebuchadnezzar is at your borders and he's getting ready to overrun Jerusalem. or the Assyrian from Sennacherib is getting ready to take Israel. You know, all the stuff that went on in the Old Testament with the nations attacking Israel. Okay? So whenever these guys are prophesying in the Old Testament, they got one eye on what's getting ready to happen now. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The other eye is looking forward into the future. And the things they're talking about are the things that we actually see happen in Revelation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like on your handout, in your packet, you can go through all these prophets and see what key things they've seen in Revelation. A lot of them seen the Antichrist. A lot of them seen peace with Israel. Pretty much all of them seen the second coming of Christ, and then pretty much all of them seen the millennium. Does that make sense? They're like chameleons. They see immediate. Nebuchadnezzar's at your door, getting ready to take you. And then they see the Antichrist is at your door. He's going to take you. Same thing, two different perspectives. Notice the valley of the church age here on this handout. That none of the prophets seen the church age. They only seen really things for Israel that get fulfilled in Revelation. Alright. So I want to cover that. Because all the stuff we're going to get ready to talk about is nothing new. This stuff, all the stuff in Revelation has already been described quite a bit. And that's why I said a couple weeks ago, if a person's real familiar with your Old Testament and the things these guys said, none of this is really a surprise. The thing we do get out of Revelation is the order, which is cool. You know, that way we know what's going on. One real important thing is believers won't need to worry about it because we're not going to be here. And we're going to talk about that in a second. Alright, so prophets, that's what we're going to talk about. Okay, you know, another thing too, this is my other drawing. Remember a few months ago I told you guys how a file on a computer is saved?
Yeah,
how it's, if you got a document, you know, one of these handouts or whatever on your computer, it actually gets saved all parsed up in different pieces all over your hard drive. And after a year or two of data, you've got to defragment your drive and put the files back in order and things like that. The same thing with all these truths in Revelation and all the Bible, really. All the information that we're getting ready to talk about is in the Old Testament, but it's scattered all over the place. So that's where we have to be workmen, to be familiar with these books, to know where these nuggets are, and know how to put them together. So, and that's what I want to help you with today, is how to put all of these fragmented prophecies kind of in order. All right.
That's good.
So, the book of Revelation, and I'm not going to, like even if you look at the handout here, I didn't overwhelm your eyes with verses. You know, I've of course got verses to back all this up and scripture and passages, but I've seen charts on Revelation where people do that and it makes it just really busy. So I just wanted to kind of talk through it. We can go deeper in things if you guys want, but that's why it's just kind of a simple chart. So okay, one other thing I need to cover for background. Daniel, the book of Daniel, is really a key to Revelation several ways. One of them is for timing. Yes, 70th week. All right. In the book of Daniel, actually, it even starts with Jeremiah. Daniel's reading Jeremiah. And Daniel knows there's something to this 70 weeks that Jeremiah speaks of. So Daniel really goes to the Lord and prays about it. And the Lord reveals to Daniel the kind of order of the end times. It's the history of the Gentile nations before it happens. And that's Daniel's 70 weeks. And we've all heard of that, and I've touched on it several times. And what it is, I think I'll talk about it a little more next week, but the Bible is actually made up of four periods of 70 weeks. You've got Abraham to the Exodus, and Exodus to the temple, and all that. But for Daniel, he allowed 70 weeks. He said there's going to be 70 weeks from the rebuilding of the temple until Jesus. 70 weeks. And that's...
It's weeks of years.
Weeks of years, yeah. That's exactly right. Weeks of 490 years.
Weeks of years.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, 70 times...
Each week is a year. Basically, Daniel says there's going to be 490 years until Christ comes. That's why in the book of Matthew, the wise guys, the wise men were looking for him, because they knew Daniel and they knew when he was going to come, because the rebuilding of the temple is fixed in history. So if you count forward the 69 weeks, 490 years, they knew right when Jesus was going to be born.
So it'll be 70 times 7?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That comes up in another place, too.
Yeah, it comes up a lot. I don't have time to get on. All right, but let me just kind of bring it down. Daniel said there are 70 weeks until the Lord comes, which is over here. This period here was 69 weeks. And then Jesus gets cut off. And this is all described in Daniel. And Jesus crucified. So what that means from the book of Daniel, we've got 1 week hanging over. We've got basically 7 years that have not happened yet. That's why this period of this is called the 70th week. I hope I didn't lose you guys, but Revelation, the book of Revelation, is primarily about the 70th week that Daniel predicted first. It ended at 69 weeks with Jesus. We've been in this church age, and now we pick it back up with the 70th week in Revelation. That kind of clears mud. What this is, the 70th week, is when God... And this is described in all the minors also. I keep saying minors. All the prophets. Ezekiel, Hosea, all these guys talk about there will be a day when God is going to not focus on the church anymore. He's going to return to Israel and get them. He's going to refine them in the refiner's fire and get Israel straightened out and get them back as his people. Because right now they're kind of wandering around. They're not really his people. Yeah, so this 70th week, and I put it on the bottom of the big chart, it's called the tribulation period. It's called Jacob's time of trouble. It's got dozens of names that it's called in the Old Testament. It's a time when God is going to work with Israel to get them to repent and return to him as a nation, like they were in the Old Testament. That's the purpose of most of Revelation. Okay? Alright, so hopefully this will kind of gel as we go. So, the first three chapters, churches. It's all about churches. The word church shows up over and over and over and over. In chapter 4, a door is opened in heaven. I get green. Green's good. I have green. Oh, here we go. All right. Two times in Revelation, the heavens open, and someone goes up, and then someone comes down. And that kind of frames the book. So in chapter 4... Verse 1, let's just look at it. Chapter 4, verse 1. I know it may be fuzzy now, but hopefully by the time I'm done, hopefully this will make more sense. All right, 4:1. After this I looked, this is John, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet, talking with me. Said his name, come up hither, come up hither. It's a very interesting phrase that occurs throughout the Bible. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And then chapter 4 continues on with John being transported up to heaven at the throne room of God, where people are earning and casting crowns and just partying with the Lord. And that's chapters 4 and 5. So that's why on your handout up here, I always call it JSOC, Judgment Seat of Christ. John, which is a type of the church, he's called the Beloved as the church. He was Jesus' closest friend. Doesn't die a martyr. He's the only one. I've said that many times, and this is why. He does not die a martyr. He lives to be an old guy and dies of natural causes. He is told to come up hither. He escapes and gets off this planet and goes immediately into the throne room where the crowns are given out. And that's at the top of your big chart, what I've drawn there. He goes up, straight to the judgment seat of Christ, and then the crowns are given out. And the crowns are the rewards that the believers get. That's talked about many times by Paul. There's five of these crowns that are given to believers as a reward for their various works on the earth.
He didn't receive one of the crowns.
Who?
John.
He didn't get the martyrs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. So that's what happens in chapters 4 and 5. So like Angie did, and what Angie does, it's really good and helpful, especially for the book of Revelation, to write a little header at the top of your chapter saying what it is. And back on the handout, when I have the chapter layouts, and these are some of the things you could write in your Bible. So chapter 4, the rapture and the judgment seat of Christ, is chapters 4 and 5. Believers are up here in heaven. Everybody tracking with me? All right, once the church is out of here, then that starts, Daniel's 70th week starts. The stopwatch gets clicked. And this tribulation period starts when God turns his attention now on Israel to bring them back to him. All right. And like I said last week, this period here, this goes from basically chapter 6 up to 18. Well, yeah, I'll do 18. These chapters is where all the spooky stuff's at, all the bad stuff that happens on the earth. These are the judgments of God coming down, dealing with Israel. And just, I've said this before too, just the way Jesus' first coming, there were four accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and each one has a different, highlights a different aspect of the Lord. This has four accounts. There are four times we're taken through this period in these chapters, and each time we're taken through, the Lord's highlighting something different about that period. Okay, so back on our big chart here, the very first time that he takes us through is the seven seals. And it starts in chapter 6. Chapter 6 focuses on high level, the judgment, the plagues. I don't want to use plagues. It's the high-level bad things that happen to the earth. And it comes in the form of the four horsemen that we always hear about. Huh. See, notice the very first seal on that on your chart here. Well, actually, the first four. Are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You got the white horse coming down. To conquer the white horse. I didn't want to go there, but all right, the four horsemen. He. A lot of people say that that's Jesus, but it's not. It's a counterfeit. He has no bow. He doesn't come or arrows. He doesn't come out of heaven. He only has one crown. Or that gets deep there. But the first seal, the first thing that happens is this white horse shows up bringing peace. It's the Antichrist, which it gets described more later. Huh. So the Antichrist comes in that first seal. The second seal, he starts bringing war. The third seal, we got famine on the earth. And then the fourth seal, the fourth horseman, peace is broken.
So all four of them as Antichrist.
They are different things he brings. Let me back up a shade. The Daniel 70th week is divided into two time periods.
3.5 years.
Yes, 3.5 years. And that's why I drew a little line down here. 3.5. The first time we're taken through the tribulation period with the seals, this is the most 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Put him over here. This is the most linear. Let me say it a different way. The seals tell us about the entire 7 years. It starts out with the Antichrist coming, bringing peace to the world. Pretty soon he starts bringing the war and the famine. And at 3.5 years, as predicted by all these guys, specifically Daniel, he breaks his treaty with Israel. And when he breaks his treaty with Israel, that starts the second half of the tribulation where things get really bad real quick. It's called the Great Tribulation, oftentimes in the Old Testament. Tribulation, Great Tribulation. So then at the 3.5 year mark, the fourth seal, the pale horse, that kind of starts. That's kind of the middle point. And then it goes on through. More bad things happen. Now, the seventh seal, and the seventh of all of these things is right before the Lord Jesus comes back. Because this here is Jesus coming back. This is the second coming. When that door opens again, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but when the door opens again, Jesus comes back, and that's why I put the lightning bolts and all those little horses. And one of those horses is you, believer, if you were in heaven. We'll get there in a second. So, at the end of the seven seals, I think it's verse 6:15, we have the second coming. So we actually have four accounts of the second coming, because at the end of each account, we see the second coming. So that's the first time through, chapters 6 through 8, where he talks about the seven seals and the judgments that get poured out on the earth. Everybody tracking? The second time through is the focus on the trumpets and the woes. And what's interesting there, the trumpets and the woes start after the fourth seal. So the rest of the book up to 18, the trumpets and the woes, they're about that period. That's why I stuffed them all on that side. But one of the cool things with the second time through we're told about these two guys that show up to explain to Israel what's going on, because the Antichrist breaks his little peace treaty here. He goes into the temple and desecrates it. And these two guys from the Old Testament show up to tell Israel what's going on. Does anyone know who they are?
Isaiah, I mean?
Moses and Elijah.
Elijah, there we go.
Yes. They show up again. Because remember in the Old Testament, Moses' body was hidden and Elijah was taken out on a chariot. So they show up again at the 3.5 point when the Antichrist breaks his little treaty. And notice the plagues that they bring with them are the same ones they were doing in the Old Testament. They're turning water into blood. They're bringing the fire and the hail, polluting the rivers. It's the same stuff. The same 10 plagues Moses did get redone during this time. And this time that the Lord takes us through the tribulation period, he highlights that stuff. And at the end, it talks about Jesus coming back again. So we have the second time through. Now the third time through, we start in chapter 12.
The woes match the last three seals.
They do. A lot of these will line up when you're reading through. Like pretty much all of them have earthquakes. Yeah. Things like that. So now, that's the first two times through. The seals, what happens in the world, the witnesses, Moses and Elijah. I'll put two little guys here. Third time through, Revelation 12 through 14, the players. This is the program guide. When you go to a football game, you know, every time I go, I get a little program that tells me all the players and then what they're doing and what their thing.
You don't go to football games.
I've read about it.
Yeah.
All right, so Revelation 12 through 14 is nothing but just all about the people that are in the tribulation. And there's seven big players, and I listed them out here. The woman, Satan, Christ, Michael the Archangel. And there's little, you know, snippets of backstory about each one of these people. You know, this is where the verses about the Antichrist, the beast, you know, 666, I mean, all that spooky stuff about the Antichrist falls in here, in this little section about the players. You know, who's it about? And it, you know, again, he makes I put in here that on the very first part of the chart that the Antichrist makes peace with Israel, and that's in Daniel 9:27. And he breaks it 3.5 years later. And when he breaks it, I am going to mention the remnant here. When the Antichrist breaks his treaty, and Moses and Elijah show up to tell Israel what's going on, and they realize what's going on, they flee to get away from him. And that's called the remnant. And this brings in a lot of other things. This is pregnant with meaning, as Brian would say. First, remember in Matthew 24, when the disciples, right before Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, and he's on Mount of Olives, and the disciples ask him, Lord, what will be the sign of thy second coming? And he gives them Matthew 24. And it's a lot of bad things that are going to happen. When these bad things happen, flee. If you're on the roof in your house, go. Don't go in and get anything. Just leave. Everybody leave. And the things that are in Matthew 24 are almost verbatim what's going on here. He's talking about this. Jesus is in Matthew 24. Okay, I'll leave that. So they flee. All right, here's our map. I gotta have a map. This is Israel. Here's Jerusalem. One of the places they flee is down here to Edom, Petra, the city of Petra. This is what the book of Obadiah is all about, is what happens when Israel flees from the Antichrist and they're hiding out down here in the city of Petra. It's described in Matthew 24 and Obadiah and here in Revelation as the remnant that's hiding down there. That's what all that means. All those cool stories in the Old Testament, it's that chameleon. He's also pointing to all this, telling, it's foretelling what all this is going to be. So the remnant's hiding from the Antichrist down here. The Antichrist is raising an army to wipe out Israel. I don't know if I want to get there quite yet. Yeah, we have the beast come up. The Antichrist is actually an unholy trinity. There's a false prophet and a... Actually, let me go here real quick. This is kind of cool. What the Antichrist does, he has a false prophet, and they erect an image in the temple in Jerusalem. So we've got to have a temple to have an image put into it. So that's, we're waiting on the temple. But he erects an image, the Antichrist will. The false prophet's going to give it power to speak. It's going to come to life somehow. And this is all in this section here of the book of Revelation 12 to 14. And, of course, that freaks everyone out. And the Jews realize, Moses and Elijah, this is what's going on. This Daniel image is coming to life. And they start fleeing. And what's cool is, if you remember back to the book of Daniel again, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I think it was chapter 4, maybe? 3 or 4? Daniel is a type of the Holy Spirit. Daniel is nowhere to be found in that story. He's gone. Well, Shadrach, Abednego, Meshach, whatever their names are, they're Jewish boys, and they're told to worship an image that Nebuchadnezzar stands up, and if they don't worship, they're going to go through the fire. So that little story that just kind of shows up in Daniel is talking about this. Because Daniel wasn't there. Daniel's not mentioned at all in that chapter. Because he's up here. Just like we will be. So, kind of got off track there. But that's what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to bring this image. He's got the mark of the beast and all that stuff we hear about. Which we should not be worried about as believers. Because we're going to be up here. That's what comes in that section. That third account. And at the end of the third account, it's verse 14:14. It's the second coming is described again. That's kind of how you know you're getting ready to start another account, because Jesus comes back. Okay, we're starting another account.
Alright.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how you can tell your markers. But like I said, in my Bible a long time ago, I wrote in my Bible, like, first time through the tribulation in chapter 6, first time through, focuses on the seals. Second time through in chapter 8. So when I'm reading Revelation, I know where I'm at. Or if Brian's preaching out of Revelation, I know where I'm at. All right, so the fourth time through, 15 through 18, the fourth time through, the highlight is the vials. Seven vials, actually. Darn it. Now the vials, I couldn't portray it on my chart because I didn't have enough space. The vials actually get poured out at the last 6 months. In previous trips, in previous accounts through the tribulation, there's a demon army comes through and wipes out most of the earth. So the last 6 months on earth before Jesus comes back, it's pretty bleak. There's not a lot of people even alive. And these vials are kind of the final, pouring out of these little plagues here. And that leads us to 19. the verse that everyone ought to be kind of familiar with, 1911. That's when the Lord comes back, and it's really foretold, you know, in a cool way. So let's flip over to 19. I'm sorry?
Armageddon,
yes. Yes, that's a good point. All right, Revelation 19:11. Here's what's happened. Yeah, Steve brought up a good point I need to describe here. The Antichrist, he's chased Israel out of the land. There's some in the land, but he's hunting them down. And he assembles his 10-nation Gentile army, the Antichrist does. And it's just like in a Western. They all meet up at it's the Valley of Jezreel, but it's Armageddon. There's a little city up here called Megiddo, and it overlooks a valley of Jezreel, which a lot of stuff went on in the Old Testament to foreshadow this. So, the Antichrist is all assembled here. The remnant, what little is left of Israel, is in this valley. And before the Antichrist gets a chance to wipe them out, the Lord comes back and saves them.
I'll be there in 2 weeks.
Yeah, you probably will.
Mark Trotter's going to give a message at Armageddon.
Oh, man, cool. Well, that'll be cool. I can't imagine looking out over this valley, because it'll be like 6 feet deep in blood. I mean, all the stuff we hear about. That's cool. Yeah. So the Antichrist has them surrounded. You know, you hear the cavalry charge, and all of a sudden the heavens bust open here in 1911. Let's look at it, verse 1911. And I saw heaven opened here, the second time this happens, and a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes are as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns. So this white horse rider has many crowns, and he's from heaven. This guy ain't. He ain't got nothing. All right. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head had many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but himself. He's dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This is the man. This is our guy. Verse 14. Here's us. And the armies which were in heaven followed upon him upon white horses. And there we are. And this is foretold. I ain't even going to try to draw a horse. We're all through there. Many times in the Old Testament, whenever this Armageddon is described, the armies on white horses, all of us coming back with him. That's going to be cool. Yeah.
I think the reason that it says that we're on white horses and clothed in fine linen, white and clean, is because we ain't really going to be doing anything.
We ain't. And that's a good point. We're white and clean because we've just went through the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
And we're right with him now. So
he's just going to be speaking it out of existence.
He's just going to wipe them out. He probably ain't going to lift a finger, I'm sure. Just they're gone. It'll be like a, what is that, Lord of the Rings kind of thing. Wipes them out. Huh. All right. Jesus comes back. Wipes out Armageddon. Wipes out the Antichrist. Chapter 19. Jesus comes down. I have to throw this out. It's kind of cool. What he actually does. Remember the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, how they marched it around, carried it from Sinai on all the way up?
Yeah.
That's the same route Jesus is going to take when he comes back. He's coming back Sinai. He's coming up through here. He's going to stand on the Mount of Olives on the east side of the Jerusalem. Big earthquake, he's going to split the mountain, he's going to march right through that east gate that we've talked about many times. And when he does that, he sets on the throne in Jerusalem. And he fulfills, actually, okay, this is another little rabbit trail, but when Jesus first showed up, when Gabriel announced Jesus coming to Mary, the angel Gabriel said that Jesus is going to sit on the throne of his father David and rule like for 1,000 generations or something. He hasn't done that yet. There's a lot of promises like that that are told of Jesus that he's going to start doing when he comes back and goes through the gate, sets on the throne, he's going to establish what we call the millennium. Oh. Yes, I'm a terrible speller. The millennium. This is the 1,000-year reign of Jesus on the earth in Jerusalem, reigning the planet, fulfilling dozens of prophecies going all the way back to Abraham.
The Sabbath.
The Sabbath. It's the Sabbath of the earth. It's the rest. The word Selah, I think I put it in your handout. The word Selah is a rest. Yeah. So all through the Psalms, whenever you see the word Selah, it's talking, the context will be this, period. And that's kind of a neat way to read the Psalms. But so anyway, and that is chapters, 20 and 20 through 21, I believe. Well, I just did 22 to the end. Jesus is on the throne for 1,000 years. Satan is bound. He's not allowed to bother anybody during this time. When he comes back, he chains up Satan. So chapter, I'm going to go with 19. I think it's something like that. 19 and 20 is the millennium. After the millennium, Satan's let loose for a little bit, and there is a small rebellion that comes out, and there's some things happen there. But after the millennium, let me use a different color. And I put it on your chart there, is the Great White Throne Judgment. That is when all the unsaved dead from all the ages get resurrected, and they get their chance to stand before God and justify their entrance into heaven based on their works or whatever they were counting on while they were alive. No. Because we've already went through our, not a judgment, but our rewards. So we got the Great White Throne Judgment at the end of Revelation, and then it finishes out in chapter 22 with new everything. New earth, new heavens, new everything. And it ends with the river of God coming out of the throne of God with the tree of life, just like it began in Genesis. Eating the tree of life, the river of God, it's like a come full circle.
Circle of life.
Circle of the Lord. Because that's all, I'll say that for next week, but so that's all, that's the book of Revelation. It's really simple when you unlock some keys. And I really encourage you guys to mark these in your headers of your chapters so you'll kind of see where you're at. See if I missed anything. So everything I talked about is kind of on this chart here in your handout. I don't have much time to go through the Antichrist, but what I did, since everyone's always interested in him, I did a page of things that if you want to study about the Antichrist a little more, some of the key passages in the Old Testament that really uncover him. I listed out a bunch of characteristics about him. He's a Syrian Jew. Actually, it's kind of cool. When you're reading your Old Testament, when you read a reference aimed at the Assyrian, capital A, Assyrian, the prophet may be talking about Sennacherib, the guy that was around at the time, but he's really talking about the Antichrist. So that really kind of unlocks passages when you start reading in, you know, Jeremiah, and he's talking about the Assyrian. That's what he's talking about. All right, so lots of names for the Antichrist. Listed all that. I kind of listed things he does. All right, so there's that. So, how does all this apply to us? Last page. Three things we can learn from the book of Revelation. Like I said last week, this is your last page. Actually, let me back up before I cover this. In your handout, I also gave you a two-sided sheet of the 18 types of the Antichrist. All through the Old Testament, there were 18 guys that foreshadowed the coming man of sin, the Antichrist. The things they did, said, the way they hunted Israel, all foreshadow this guy. So there are 18 types, and I list them out again. I gave you that handout before, but I wanted to give it out again. All right, so on the last page of your handout, or almost last page, the three things we can learn from the book, God wins. We know that. Eternity future. God is not surprised at what's going on right now in the world. He's not concerned with Trump or whatever. I mean, he knows what he's doing, and he's going to do it. So, we got that. And I like that verse in Daniel, because Daniel reiterates that in Daniel 2 that I put under bullet 1, that God knows. He places kings. He sets up kingdoms. He giveth wisdom to the wise, and hopefully that's us, that we may have understanding of what's going on. Because do we need to worry about the Antichrist?
No.
Not really. Actually, we're not even told. We're told many times to look for his coming, but we're never told to look for the Antichrist. And there's some Christians that are just so preoccupied with identifying this guy.
Jared Hershner.
That is Jared Hershner. But, you know, we're not told to look for him. It's good to know. I love staying up on it, but we're not told to look for the guy. All right, so next, point number 2, things we can learn. The Antichrist is already here. All right. Yeah, and this goes back to John. The first John, when he's telling the church back in the first century, the Antichrist is already here. The spirit of Antichrist, as we all know, is living large in America. The Antichrist is anything against Christ. Our whole society and culture is against Christ. So even though we're not here and we'll never be here, we're still here fighting the spirit that's going to bring this. So we got to be vigilant, know how to identify it. Don't be against Christ. So it's simple there. But all right, now the main message is number 3. Which chapters are you going to go through? We're all going to go through some everywhere. You're either going to go through chapters 4 and 5, and then 20. To 22 in heaven with Jesus by accepting him now, accepting his gift of salvation that takes you out before the bad stuff, or you're going to go through these chapters 6 through 18 and experience the judgment of God. He gives all of us a choice, so hopefully all of us will be come up hither. And we'll all, you know, there's so many gospel hymns written about when the roll's called up yonder and we're meeting at the river, and all those things are the good things in Revelation that we want to be a part of. So, you got to think, which chapter am I going to be in? If it was to happen, if he comes today, which he could. There's really no unfulfilled prophecy that prevents this from happening today. Now, the time period here between the rapture and the 70th week actually starting, we don't know. It could be 10 years. I don't know. But I do think that the church will see who the Antichrist is before we're taken out. And the reason I say that is at the Last Supper, when Judas was getting ready to betray Christ, he actually told John who the betrayer was.
Yep.
So I'm pretty sure we'll know right before we go out. I hope we do. It'd be neat. But we ain't gonna care. We're up here. So the main message of Revelation: get on board with him. Be up here in these chapters. Judgment seat of Christ, marriage of the Lamb. It's when we marry Christ, all that cool stuff, the wedding feast, and be one of the horses coming down. All right, does that make sense? It's a pretty simple book when you kind of bust it out like this. All right, man, that's weird. That's it now. It just hit me. Well, that's it. Revelation. All right, yeah, thank you. Do what?
Encore,
yeah.
It's somewhat simple, and the more you hear it, the more you do understand it. But some things are hard to believe. It's easy to understand, but it's hard to believe. Wow. We've all heard of the mark of the beast, and I heard just some things this week that I wanted to just share in closing. Most of us have smartphones now. Probably 3 years ago, we bought a smart TV. They have smart cars now, right? But I heard a term this week that I hadn't really heard before. Maybe you have. That they're starting to have smart cities. Have you heard of that?
No. Uh-huh.
And they're even saying that Dubai is one of the first. And what they're doing is, because Jeremy Bonison, one of our pastors, he works with Summit Technology Academy, and he went to a conference this week, and he's really, they're talking about 5G, the next platform of, I guess, speed and communication and data storage. And so he says Dubai, he really sees how all this is coming together. And so when these witnesses, you know, the Bible says that it doesn't rain during their prophecy on the earth, and they reign for 1,260 days. It's 3.5 years. People have to have the mark of the beast to buy and sell, because there is no food, there is no water, there is no... So the government controls. So whether it's a chip in your hand, I heard almost a year ago that they videoed, you know, a person getting a chip for their medical records. And but this week I heard that the new Tesla car, I think it's optional, but you can get the key fob put in your hand. So you don't have to carry keys anymore. It's the key fob is in your hand. You can start your car. You can unlock it.
Wow.
And so, anyway, all this is kind of coming to fruition, and Jim is in computers and mainframes and technology, so I'm sure he sees it. And so, anyway, just a lot of things coming together. It's an exciting time to be alive.
Amen.
And it's an exciting time to be saved and to tell others about the Lord. And so, you know, continue to consecrate yourselves, sanctify yourselves, and be ready to give an answer for the hope that lieth within you with meekness and fear.
Amen.
So thank you, Jim. This was rich. And next week is a review. We're going to have a game time, a Bible review. And so hopefully you can come back. And but let's pray. Dave Brand, would you pray for us as we close? And
Father God, we just come to you and just praise you, Father, and looking forward to being in heaven with you, Father. So we just thank you.